Thank you. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for this time to be here. Thank you for life. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for everything, your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you. We love you. We worship you. We declare your glory over here, your presence over here. In the name of Jesus Christ, we also ask you to be you speaking to the church. Please remove me out of the equation. Be you speaking. Be you transforming the hearts. Be you transforming us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. First of all, I want to say thank you. Thank you for all the help last weekend. Thank you for the missionaries that they were here, Earl and Laura Goodrich. So thank you for that. That was awesome. Appreciate it. It was an amazing moment. I watched that. And thank you. Again, thank you for the help, church. Okay, let's go. Let's start with this blessing word that God put in our hearts that hopefully also is going to be a bless for you guys and help you, transform you. Oh, Danny. Danny, thank you. Good to see you. Good to see you back. Amazing. Okay, so let's go to the series that we're going to talk today. We're going to continue talking about a beast of grace. Right? I'm good? Thank you. So, a beast. Thank you. I love the church. Always helping me. That's amazing. Abyss of grace, because it's really difficult to explain this. So in my limitation of the human being brain that I have and all of us have, explaining the grace of God is difficult, to be honest. But we're going to try to do the best that we can through the scripture, like always, which is the best explanation, the best speaking word of God. His word is here, so it's the best thing to go through. Not our own understanding, our own things. So I'm going to try to do my best to explain everything through here, okay? But the grace of God is so big, so deep, and it's going to be really difficult, but we will try to do the best to do that. As you guys know, I like to open with this scripture, which is 2 Corinthians 12:9. It says, But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you.
Born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. We have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace. are when I say, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Praise God. Grace over grace. According to Scripture, John is expressing here that Jesus Christ, he came to express and manifest the grace over grace. Why or how that happened? When you see the scripture after that, John explained that the law that Moses expressed in that time through God, right? God expressed that law through Moses. It was a grace that God put in place for the people by that time. But that grace, it was not enough. Because us as human beings, we cannot be clean our sins or be clean ourselves with that law in the past. We know that. But that's why John expressed here and says, God, through Jesus Christ, is going to be in compliance to that grace with grace. But which grace? When you think about the law is putting some commandments and other laws that we already know to try to see if we can remove the sins out of our life. And we couldn't. We were continuing doing the same thing. Now Jesus Christ came here and fulfilled that with his grace, with the grace of God. That's why the scriptures say, no one knows the Father, just the Son. And he is expressing and showing and manifesting the Father's grace through him to be in compliance with that all grace that we manifest or he manifests through the law. How he did that? The scripture says fulfillment. The fulfillment also is talking about plenitude. What's the right word? Thank you. Plenitude or fulfillment. Jesus Christ was, that's the first point that I want to share with you guys today, the plenitude. Because plenitude is a completion. It is complete. It means fulfilled. It means that you have everything you need in order to complete the task that you have been sent or the task that you need to perform in your life. Simple to understand. Now, I think the question that God is asking to us today, it is, are you complete? Are you fulfilled? Do you have everything really to complete the task that you have in your hand, the purpose that God sent you through Jesus Christ? I promise you, you have it. You are complete. But with you, yourself, I don't know. I don't think so. And that's the problem, because we are thinking that we, our own strength, with our own capacity, with our own knowledge, we think, I can handle it. I can do that. I can control it. I'm fulfilled. Human being. And then we are making the mistake to suffer every single time. And suffering and suffering and suffering. Because we are really not receiving Jesus Christ in our life, which is the real fulfillment in our life. He has the grace. He is the grace. When you pay attention and know in the scripture in the beginning, and you can go through Psalms, going through ESV, Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is there's fullness of joy. At your right hand and pleasure forevermore. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Psalm 50:12, if I were hungry, I will not tell you. The world and its fullness are mine. Psalm 96:11, let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. So
there's a correlation over there. You see the earth, the sea, sky, heaven, everything, and fulfills. Whatever the skies, the earth, and everything have in it, it fulfills that. So when you go to the beginning in Genesis, you will see that the scripture says God is talking, he's speaking, but he's telling the sea, he's telling the earth, fulfill, produce. Let's go over there. I didn't put it over there, so let's go. Because this is something that is coming right now. Chapter 1, Genesis, verse, let's go, 11. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation. God is talking. He's talking to the earth and say, hey, produce. Fulfill. If you produce, you will be fulfilled. That's why then in Psalms, he's talking, you earth, or you see the sea, and you fulfill, man, what you have in it, what you produce is making you to be fulfilled. What you and I are producing in our life to be fulfilled by God. That's the question. What we are getting inside of us, what we are receiving to be fulfilled. Whatever you are receiving that is not from God, that's why you're being fulfilled. If it's not from God, I don't know where we're going. But if it's from God, if you are getting fulfilled by God, by Jesus Christ, which is grace and truth, the grace manifestation of God will be in your life every single day. That will be removing that old grace from the law and getting the grace from Jesus Christ in your life, which is love, mercy, truth, grace over grace. That's the grace that you and I get exposed. The grace of the Ten Commandments, the grace of other stuff. But the grace that we should be having inside of us, that we're supposed to be fulfilled, is the grace of Jesus Christ. That's the one that we need. Because that one, it fulfills the other one. You and I, we can't do that. Unfortunately, right? God has too much mercy. God has too much love. Too much. He's fulfilled of that. He might be able to save us from that, right? Maybe. Yes, for sure. He can send all the mercy, all the love to our life, and we will be saved. Amen. Praise God. Now we don't need Jesus, because he can do that through that. But he said, you know what? You and I, we're in a flesh. We're in a body. So we need someone. We need something that he can be correlated to you and to me and show you that he's capable, so that way we can trust in him, which is Jesus Christ. He did that. He said, you know what? I'm here. I'm God. Fulfill in this body, flesh, to fulfill the law, to fulfill that old grace with my grace, which is love, mercy, and truth. And that way people can trust in me and have the confidence, and I'm going to be the salvation for him. Hallelujah. So when we keep learning more about this, about fulfillment, about plenitude, Ephesians 1:22 says, and God place all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in everywhere, in every way. You and I. If you are church, then you are the fulfillment. You and I, we are the fulfillment according to scripture. We are the fulfillment of his body. If you and I as a church continue getting more together, more unity, we are in fulfillment. And that means he's putting everything. Hallelujah. There's nothing that is supposed to bother you. There's nothing that is supposed to stop you. Nothing in your life. Nothing that is coming from the evil one, from the enemy, or from your desires, from the flesh. nothing, because he put everything under his feet, under your feet, under the church's feet. Because we fulfill that all together in unity. Ephesians 3:14 says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he might strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Hallelujah. It's too much. That's why I don't think we as a human being in our mind, we cannot comprehend that. Sometimes it's really tough, because the way that we learn, the way that we grew, the way that we are getting teach from other people, maybe from TV, whatever, radio, name it. It's really hard to understand this love from God, because the love that you understand is that maybe you have to give something good to receive something good. But this love from God, which is grace, it is that you don't deserve it. That any way that you did something bad, he's going to love you. He said, "I'm here to save you. I'm here to rescue. I'm here to extend grace." The meaning of grace, it means bow down. And one of the greatest definitions of grace, it is, or the example that they put it in places, it is that this king is going through this route or way or path, and then someone that is not from the kingdom, he just stopped by, and then he say, "I'm just here to see my king." And the king just walked down and bowed down and held this person. That's the grace example that we need to understand from God. God is in heaven, right? God is in his kingdom manifestation. And then he's bowing down to help you, to bless you, to protect you, to provide you. That's grace. And the only thing that we need to understand to be fulfilled with that is Jesus Christ. That he died for you and for me, that through him we are saved. That's why John is expressing in chapter 1, Jesus Christ, his grace, his fulfillment, the full plenitude of Jesus Christ is the manifestation of that grace. And that grace is going over the other grace. Ephesians 4:13, it says, "Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Colossians 1:15 says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him." Through him. But also for him. Okay, how we can explain that? How we can explain that? Okay, we're talking about Jesus Christ. He's the Word. He's the action, the beginning. So God say, Jesus Christ, it was the action. According to Word, the original Greek of that word is the action on the sentence. So he was making things that God was saying. Okay? So everything has been created through him, because he's the action, but also for him. So, because at some point, everything here in the world, you, me, everything that you see out there, earth, sea, animals, everything, It was through him, but also for him. And I want to share with you guys a couple of things here. For him, because we suppose one of the main reasons that we have been created is to worship God. And worshiping is not just singing, as we already talked about that a long time ago. It's a style of life. It's living and walking every single day, worshiping him, praising him, talking to him, having him with you all the time. That's worshiping God. That's the main reason why you and I have been created, to worship him, to serve him. Hallelujah for that. So because of that, we have been created, everything has been created for him, to worship Jesus Christ, to worship him. But also because at some point, he needs to come to the earth to save you and me. That's why everything was created for him. Because he knows he needs to save you and me. Because he knows that we cannot be just be saved with the atonement of the old atonement in the back of Moses' law and everything. We couldn't. That's why everything has been created also for him, because he will be in compliance of that. And that way we can be saved, just having faith in Jesus Christ. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. The fullness dwell in him. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things are in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. Without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Amen. That's the reason why everything has been created through him and for him. Because of you and me, because of the world, because of everything. To worship him and also to be saved through him. Colossians 2:9 says, for in Christ all the fullness, the plenitude of the deity, thank you, lives in bodily form. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. God, it was in Jesus Christ. He was God. He is God. Trinity. Inside. He was inside him, but in a body of flesh to show in us we can do it. We can trust in Jesus Christ. We can trust that having him, we can live in that grace. Now, this past week in the small group, we were talking about 2 Corinthians. And they were talking about compassion. In bringing that topic in this one, it is that if you receive grace from God, it's time for you to also pass that grace to the people. Hallelujah. And I'm going to share with you guys a testimony from this week. I have a story of a person that, unfortunately, maybe more than 18 to 20 years ago, he was breaking the law, doing bad stuff, delinquency and all that stuff, right? And he have his background checked. He have it in a bad spot. So hiring someone or getting someone in a work environment with the background like that is really tough and difficult. So that's the moment that now you have to maybe show grace. And it's difficult because there's a couple of things that you have to put in place or consider or not consider. And this week, I saw that experience of this person to be humble. He's in church. He have a new baby, and he's trying to, you know, get up and continue in the life and be restored and continue. But we have to be careful because then, let's say we say we're not extending grace to that person. And yes, the last decision is going to be from that person to say, you know what, I'm going to be mad and frustrated and rebel to here and do whatever I want to do because these people tell me no, they're not going to hire me or anything like that, right? That's the last decision is going to be from that person. But you also, as the other side, you have to decide if you're going to do that extension of grace or not. To give the second chances or not. And now when you put in his place, you say, I was there. I was there and God gave me some grace. He gave me the opportunity to continue. He gave me the opportunity and he extended me grace. So I'm here right now today because of his grace. Yes, I have to also put my part and say, you know what? I'm going to leave everything behind. Everything that is not from God, all the old grace, I'm going to leave that one over there and I'm going to grab his grace so that way I can be fulfilled. Fulfilled according to his purpose. And then live and walk through that, and his grace is going to show me the blessings that he's promising me. So we extend grace to that person this week. Praise God for that, right? And he's going to have that opportunity. I have the opportunity to talk to the person. I say, this is your chance. This is your opportunity to shine. Show the world and show everyone and the family and anyone that is telling that you are not the right person, show them that you are the right person. Show them that God is with you. Show them that they might be having it wrong in their head. Because God is with you and God is giving you the opportunity. That's grace. That's the extension of grace. And something that also happened that some people in the world, they might be hesitated to God and hesitated to Jesus Christ and all the greatness from God. I don't what I'm going to share with you guys, I don't know if it's from a good mind or a bad mind. You guys judge it yourself. So I receive a text. This is my work phone. And this person says, do you book the two tickets for the flight? I don't know who this person is. Wrong number. It's me. Sorry. Sorry. The name is Zoe. It's not you. It's me, Zoe. We talk about these two tickets that you need to buy for the flight. Wrong number. Sorry. And I put this emoji. Bye. and then that person, because I don't know, again, that's what I'm going to leave it up to whatever, because it can be a man with bad intentions. You know what's going on right now over there. It can be really a confusion. I don't know. But anyway, this person says, you sound polite. You sound polite. Who are you? Yeah. So anyway, and then I told them, I hope you have a great day. God bless you. You know, we send blessings. And then they reply back and say, from where you are. You see? I don't know. And then say, I'm from heaven. And I'm here to tell you that God is blessing you. God is here to protect you and provide you. God bless you. Poof, the conversation stops. So what I'm trying to say is that I don't know. Sometimes I want to include myself. I'm a human being like you guys. And we have this mind and people out there of not believing in Jesus Christ, not believing in this grace, not believing in that manifestation of God in their life. I was sharing with my friend Mike also this week that with my friends that they are from the world, you know, that they are not, you know, Christian, and I was sharing with them that they need experience in their life. If they don't have a solid experience with Jesus Christ, they keep thinking in their own things, in their own life or their own believing or thinking, and they don't have that experience, that manifestation of grace in their life. And when they have that manifestation in their life, everything gets transformed in their life. Everything changes. But in order to get into that, you need to understand the grace of God, which is, again, is really deep. It's really too large, too big to explain. But you need that manifestation. That manifestation will hold you. That manifestation will keep you standing firm and not moving to any other side. Praise God for that. So 1 Corinthians 10:26 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So in other words, the earth, the sea, everything have the fullness. You and I, we have to be full with God. That's the fullness that you and I need to be filled. We need to have that in our life so that way we can comply with the purpose of God in our life. The second point that I want to share with you guys, it is the law. The law, it comes from the Greek word nomos, which is distribute, specifically for food to animals. That's why God, when Adam and Eve, they sinned, they got covered, protected by God. But he had to kill an animal to do that. That's why he put that principle of killing an animal, or sacrifice animals, to clean the sins. So that's why the law is over there, but that's not sufficient. That's why then we receive the grace of Jesus Christ in our life. The grace over that grace. So I want to share just two more points with you guys. I shared the plenitude, I shared the law, and I want to share, I got here two more points that I want to share with you guys. I shared the truth. It was the last third point that I shared with you guys. The truth of Jesus Christ is not hiding anything. He's not hiding anything. He's showing you all the grace. He's showing you everything from God, which no one knows, no one see God, just the Son. And he's sharing that with you and me through the scripture, through his manifestation on the earth. He's showing that to you and to me. You want to see God? See Jesus Christ. See the gospel. Read it. That's Jesus Christ. That's God. He's showing you that. That's grace to you and to me. We do not deserve that. But he give us that opportunity. So grace upon grace is the glorious fullness of Christ Jesus given to you and to me. The fullness of the divine nature lives bodily in Jesus Christ. The grace upon grace is the glorious fullness of Christ Jesus given to us to enjoy God through him, through Jesus Christ. If we are to taste the fullness of God, if we are to drink of his life, if we are to enjoy his justice, wisdom, peace, and virtue every day, it is only possible through Jesus Christ, because he is not only the means to receive grace, but he is the source and originate of it. Jesus, Christ, has been established as the preeminent grace for us yesterday, today, and forever, who save us and call us to a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose, and the grace that was given to us in Jesus, the Messiah, before eternal times. Jesus Christ not only imparts undeserved saving grace to us, but he himself came to be our Savior and Lord. He has not only given us eternal life, but he becomes our life. He has not only given us salvation, but he is our Savior. He, Jesus Christ, in he we glorify. The Son of the Father, in that reveal, and that revealed to us in all fullness. We enjoy that, having Jesus Christ in your life. And that's what is helping us to continue dealing with everything in our daily life. That's, again, why John expressed grace over grace through the fullness of Jesus Christ. But what is your fullness? What you and I, we're getting filled every day. Discouragement, bullying from other people, and then we are negative. Let me tell you some secret, according to the scripture. You remember the story about the snakes when they were biting the people in the desert, the Israelites? Okay. So they were getting this venom. They were dying because those snakes are beating them. Okay? What God told Moses to do? To build a copper snake and put it in the stand, and everyone that watch it will heal. That's faith, right? This is God showing grace. But pay attention, because the same thing that it was biting them is the same thing that they need to see. If we go through the scripture, Numbers, I think it's Numbers 21. Numbers 21. I'm going to leave you with this. Numbers 21. 9. You know, I'm going to start 8. The Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. The same thing that you may be getting that bite is the same thing that you have to go to remove it out of you. Let me see, how can I explain this? There's a word in Hebrew, nek ushtan, is the redemption of the double negative. So that means remove the death out of your life with death. So if you have death in your life because your family, because anyone is imparting something in your life, remove it, killing that death out of your life. If you have discouragement in your life, remove it, discouraging the discouragement in your life. Come on. You have to remove it out of your life with the same thing that is affecting you. So it's the same thing about grace over grace. Jesus Christ came here and he removed the whole grace with his grace. It's the same thing that you and I have to do every single day. But whatever is affecting you right now in your life, remove it out of your life. Take it out with the same thing. The same thing. Hallelujah. Lepers. A couple things. We can continue naming this.
making them complete is the Holy Spirit. That's the number 10 factor that you need in your life to be complete. You might be love, you might be patience, you might be kindness. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life, you're missing the number 10 thing that it makes you complete and full. Responsible to that. God will take care of that. You are responsible of your own life. You are responsible of your own decisions. So we need to stop crying in the corner and just stand up and say, you know what? I'm going to continue moving forward. I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to trust Jesus Christ. I'm trusting in Him. His grace will fulfill me. His grace will be complete in my life, and His grace will be over that other grace.